Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, raise your hand if you're looking forward to breaking your Lenten fast after the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday. That's pretty natural, right? But before we do that, we need to double down on our prayer and sacrifices, specifically for a special group of our sisters and brothers. They're the RCIA, or perhaps if your parish has made the change already, OCIA, candidates and catechumens, those who will be welcomed into the Catholic Church at the Easter Vigil through the sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. So what's it like for them right now, and how can we unite with them now and into the future? Let's ask Misha Johnson. She's a convert to the Catholic faith and now coordinator of mission at St. Joseph of the Lakes in Llano Lakes. Welcome, Misha.
Hi, Patrick. So good to be in studio with
you. I know.
It's always so much fun when you can actually see facial expressions.
We're kind of letting the cat out of the bag here, but yes, we are doing an in-studio interview again, which is fantastic and very good to look you in the eye. So
it's the best.
It is an exciting time here. We've got 1 week to go before the Holy Triduum here, and it's an exciting time for many people. And I remember, and you remember, I'm sure, what it was like for you in this week. But what are people generally doing now if they're preparing to enter the church? What's going on in their lives?
Yeah, well, we're coming upon our third scrutiny. So there's three scrutinies. And this is a time that I always tell my catechumens and candidates, I always say this is a time of real reflection of what's happening, because the minute, and we may have all experienced this in our own lives in various degrees, but the minute we profess our love for Jesus Christ, there are going to be some winds that are going to come up, blow against you, and test your faith. So in the scrutinies, this is a time that I always say, now you're excited. I mean, think about it. Put yourself in their shoes. They have been on this 6th month, sometimes even more, depending on what each parish has been doing, but they have been on this 6th month journey of devoting their entire lives to Jesus Christ and his church. Okay, so this is the biggest, most important decision of anybody's life, not just theirs, anybody's life. Mm-hmm. And what happens when anyone professes their faith, they're going to be thinking about their whole life top to bottom. Faith is so personal. So you're going to be experiencing all these emotions as you are pushing towards the Easter Vigil. So now, as we are in the period of the scrutinies, like I said, the third one is coming up this weekend. Every time the priest, the presider, does his exorcism prayer over the catechumens, the elect now, I always just feel so excited, but also this protective mother in me wants to wrap my arms around them and say, this is the most important time to protect what's been given to you along this 6-month journey, protect it,
right.
Get excited, but also be very realistic that the world is going to try to distract you. So right now, while it's so exciting, it really is an exciting time, it's also a time of deep reflection. So they're really in it now.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I found as along with you being an RCIA participant and then an RCIA, eventually an RCIA director, is that through my own life and those who are around or those who are going through it, this is the time of year that the enemy really likes to get involved. There's been some pretty horrific things that have happened to people because exactly what you said, they're making this decision that's the most important decision of their lives, their eternal lives.
You nailed it. Every time, every year during Lent, can't you just feel that? It's palpable. And and not only that, we're going through such a crazy time of history right now. So not only we are in Lent, the season of Lent, but then also we are in a crazy time in the 21st century right now. So everyone is very shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is either going to say, okay, I feel balanced in my life, or are they going to say, I'm feeling tested?
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people that I talk to lately are saying, I'm feeling tested. So that's almost by design, and that's okay. All of this is actually okay and natural, so long as we are continuing to stay rooted in our faith. And so imagine for catechumens, the elect, and the candidates who are on these shaky legs, very newborn legs, they most of all need to stay rooted in Jesus and in prayer.
Yeah, and that's a great way that we, as the intro said there, that we can enter in and assist those And I've noticed too, I mean, even in the prayers of the faithful throughout the country, throughout the world, that we are praying for our brothers and sisters who are elect, who are coming into the church through profession of faith, whatever it may be. And speaking of which, I know that this could take not just the rest of our interview time, but the rest of, well, probably Relevant Radio's airtime today. But can you give us kind of the elevator story of your own, or elevator speech story of your own journey into the Catholic faith? So in a few minutes, just let us know. I know. It's asking too much.
I know. It's so hard, you know, because faith is so personal, because a conversion experience, especially when it has any big, almost supernatural element to it, it's always so hard to give the elevator speech. But I'll just say this to you guys. I was raised with zero religion, not atheist, not agnostic. Even if we were to say those words back then, that would have been too religious, right? Mm-hmm. That even that context alone. So literally just kind of a generational curse is kind of how I look at it, where just through the generations, it was just lost. So it was something that the family literally never spoke about. So if anyone talked about religion or if they talked about God to me when I was young, it just would have been a foreign language. I wouldn't have paid any attention. So just kind of going through the desert. In 2008, while I was vacuuming my living room, I had a massive conversion experience where I was given a vision. Now, this is out there. If you really wanted to research it, it's not only, I believe, the Catholic Spirit has it. It's out there. You can see the full thing, but just for lack of time here, I'll just say this. I was given a vision, and when anyone has a conversion experience of that magnitude, when you have no context to draw on, because remember, I'm not looking at it from a religious angle.
Sure.
It's always fear first. So while a lot of people will say that was your conversion experience, looking back in hindsight, I say, yes, it was. But at that point, it was the point of confusion. Now, because of the vision and because of what happened that day, I knew it had Christian leaning. Now, the only thing that I could attribute to Christianity at that point in my life was they read this big book. Now, that was the Bible, but for me at that time, I thought that book, that Bible, I get it now, they're reading it because they're finding answers to their conversion. I thought it was like this book of giving us answers to what we just experienced. So what did I do? I mean, when you have something like that and it's very, very weighing on you, I say now, again, in hindsight, it was the first stage of I was starting to see the world from a sacramental lens and not a secular lens. I would never have had the words to say that then, but I knew that the way that I was seeing the world all of a sudden was shifting because I went behind the supernatural veil. Yeah. It wasn't just a physical sense as we see the world when we look out our window anymore. It was something else, and I needed answers. And I was a journalist, so of course, what does a journalist do? They seek answers right away. So I ended up reading the Bible cover to cover, and people will say, you read it chronologically? And I always say, well, that's the only way I know how to read a book. First of all, I wouldn't have known that there was something in the middle called the gospel. So I went from page one of Genesis through the final page of Revelation. So the first time through the Bible, which took me a minute to get through, I'm sure you can imagine, I was dumbfounded. I was literally like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like almost like when you watch a 4-hour movie and you're like, wait, 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 that was so much. I have to wrap my mind around this and I have to read it again. So yeah. I read it again. I ended up reading it 3 times cover to cover. Then I started a Bible study group just so I could hear Christians speak. What is this? How do they communicate? Because if you're no longer seeing the world the same anymore, and now you know you have a Savior, Jesus, and you want to get to know him, how do you live in this world that is not supportive of that? So I was wrestling with all these big questions. And of course, my family and my friends, they were all like, whoa, what just happened? Mm-hmm. And then the questions became, oh my gosh, she's going way out there, you know, reading all these Bibles. And I was drinking in Christian literature. I couldn't get enough of it. My entire being had been taken over. Thanks be to God for that. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for saving me. I literally couldn't stop. So I was from sunup to sundown, immersed in listening to Christians speak, the Bible, all of this stuff because of what had happened that day and what had happened subsequently in the weeks and months to come. And it was like God knew that when you don't have anything to fall back on, not even any Christian friends, no Christian family members, no nothing, when you have nothing, he was my only support. So in his omniscience, he just chased me down. And even if I tried to go back into the world, he wasn't going to let that happen. Thanks be to God again. But it was hard. It was a very long and hard journey. And it's been many, many years since then. And now I've obviously completely surrendered my life to him. And for all of my waking days that he gives me, I will work for him because of what he's done for me.
Wow, amazing. And but you did go through an RCIA?
I sure did.
Yeah.
So right. By the time I knew, and how I even came to the steps of the Roman Catholic Church is just a miracle, because at that point I didn't even know there were any denominational differences. I mean, sure. You don't even know the difference. I was just walking in any church going, I need Jesus. Oh, and I'm sure they thought, okay, crazy. She's nuts.
Crazy lady.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Where's Jesus? So, and then I moved to Philadelphia. I was working for CBS out east. So, and of course, Philadelphia, they have real deep Catholic roots. So unbeknownst to me, I was befriending, you know, deacons and certain people along my path, but I still wasn't putting anything with Catholicism around my love for Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until my contract was coming up with CBS, and I knew without a doubt, God had kind of broke. It was kind of like my Abraham experience, where he took me out of my comfort zone in Minnesota, brought me out east, and now I was alone out of my comfort zone with me and God. And yeah, I was doing television, but God didn't care that I was doing TV. He just wanted me to have alone time with him so he could bring me where he was ultimately going to bring me, which was I was going to leave my television contract. I was going to have no job, just walk away from it. And when I told my GM, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go study the Bible academically, the first thing he said is, I know that's not the truth. And I was like, I promise you it is. He was like, you're probably going to a competitive station. Because, of course, they're thinking only secular.
Yeah.
Now, when I really did leave to just go study the Bible, it was in that exegetical work of really taking apart the Bible and really studying it that I started asking the professors questions. Well, I was at a Protestant college, and I was at Bethel, and I started asking questions. Well, what happened before then? And they were all, Misha, we don't go there. Well, when you tell a journalist, we're not going there, guess what she's going to do? Yeah. She's going to go there. So anyways, God, by the grace of God, he led me all the way to the steps of the Roman Catholic Church, and I knew right away I was home, and that led me to RCIA.
That's just amazing. Okay, so I have to say, you know, we want to hit on a couple more things, but I have to say that in all of this amazing story, here's what I hear my wife saying to me after listening to that. You see what good can come from vacuuming the house?
Amen, Patrick. So get busy.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, all right. I'll offer it up. How about that?
Get busy.
All right, so let's turn back to those who are entering the church this year. Mm-hmm. And as we said, we've been praying for them.
Yeah.
Any other things that you might recommend us to do, maybe especially if we're attending the Easter Vigil and we see those who are being received into the church, we see those who are being baptized, anything that we can or should say to them, perhaps?
Well, say to them, just love on them. They have been through quite the journey. They are now giving their life to Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for that. They are lit on fire with zeal right now. I always think about Mother Mary in Scripture, where she hastens everywhere. She hastened to her cousin. She's on fire. That's what these catechumens and the candidates are in this period of being on zeal. They've been lit on fire. So not only just love on them because they're on shaky legs now, right? They're on the newborn baby Christian legs, and they're going to need the support of our community. But also take a step aside from that and say, what is it showing to me? They are a reminder to us who are maybe in the kind of mundane now of our baptism, our baptismal promises and those graces, to let their fire, their zeal, light us on fire again.
Amen.
It really is the give and the take.
It really is. It really is. And then finally, one final question in our closing minute here is that what can we do? Because I know that the enemy doesn't let up after these sacraments are received, right? I mean, we receive special graces from God. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit sealed within us in confirmation and all this. And so we're well armed coming out of the Easter Vigil. But time goes on. What can we do to support the newly received, newly baptized that are in our midst?
wrap your arms around them with love and really share with them your personal experience of why you love the Catholic Church. Get them interested and busy with the sacraments of the church. Tell them your love for Scripture. Remind them that it is alive and that they have to stay rooted in it. And also talk to them about prayer. How has prayer helped your own life? Tell them that you are praying for them and then really do so.
Amen. Misha Johnson, we're grateful that the Lord has worked so powerfully in your life. We're grateful that you're part of our local church here, and we wish you all the best, especially as we enter into the Holy Triduum. God bless you, Misha. Thanks for being with us.
God bless you.
Next up on Practicing Catholic, Father Tom Margavishes on the spiritual benefits of doing a deep dive into Holy Week. We'll be right back.